Now turn in your Bibles to Gospel of John, chapter 14, or you can just look up on the screen ahead. We'll be looking at a rather long passage today, but this is a wonderful passage, which I just love myself. Gospel of John, chapter 14, starting with the 15th verse. And this is Jesus speaking. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son. And we do thank you for the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, we ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to love you and to obey you. And, Lord, just to know you more. Send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these Scriptures to us, to give us that understanding which you've promised us, that through the Counselor we will have understanding. So, Father, we lean now on that understanding, not on the understanding of the wisdom of man, and certainly not on mine, but, Lord, we lean upon you. And we seek to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Love and obey. There's a song, Trust and Obey. I just want to throw love and obey in there. Love and obey, for there's no other way. And I can't remember the next words. To be happy in Jesus. And that's what I've been thinking about as I've been thinking about this message all week. It's just been love and obey. The whole point that Jesus is speaking about here and showing is that indeed the obedience flows out of the love. If we truly love God, we obey. Not because He's given us these set of rules that thou shalt not do thus and such. No. We obey Because we love Him and we're just seeking to please Him. Seeking to do that which is best for Him. Now remember, what is the definition of love? I've given you this one almost every week for 5 years. Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. Now this other person we're speaking about in this context is, we are loving God. How does that definition work in our relationship towards God? First thing we have to do is understand the difference between ourselves and God. First off, He's God. That means He is omniscient. That means all-knowing. He knows everything. He is omnipotent. That means He is all-powerful. There is none who is more powerful than Him. He is our Father and Creator. That means He made us. We didn't make Him. We didn't somehow make Him up. Not like some Greek mythology trying to explain the way things happen in the world. But God was and is long before we ever were a thought. Long before He conceived of us and we were conceived, He was. So how do we take our definition of selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person and say that's love and apply it to somebody who is so much more than us? Well, let's try it. Selfless. That means not us first, but Him first. Well, that one's easy, isn't it? We're all supposed to keep God first. Loyal. That means we stick with Him. Even when He has given us those times of testings. We had that one song that we sang today, after the testing comes the blessing. Peggy, a year and a half ago, she gave a wonderful message about Job. Job was tested. Tested big time. And his wife told him, just curse God and die. But he didn't. Because he was loyal to God. He said, no, my God loves me. I may not understand what's going on, but I'm going to stick with Him. I'm going to have faith in Him. Loyalty. We need to be loyal to God, even though we don't understand what's going on. That's what happens. Friday morning, 12:25 a.m., I got a phone call. I'm an on-call police chaplain. You all know that. A woman came home Thursday night and found her husband in the car, in the garage, with the engine running. He'd been... Several years ago, he had had a brain aneurysm. He had surgery. It had caused psychological issues since the surgery. On top of that, he'd been a long-term alcoholic. The medications that he was taking can't be combined with alcohol. Causes all sorts of difficulties. But of course, being an alcoholic, he continued to drink. And mix those drugs and then take the drugs inappropriately. He didn't take street drugs. He took medication that had been prescribed to him, but didn't take it right. He'd been through treatment. Just in January, the family intervened and put him against his will into a treatment facility. And he'd only been out for a few weeks. And the wife is sitting on the floor, totally despondent, saying, I prayed. Why did this happen? You know what I could say as a pastor? I don't know. And if that's all I could have said, though, I wouldn't have been a whole lot of help there. But what I was able to say is, I don't know, but God does. And we can just trust in Him. And later she did pray with me, and she did become more coherent. And as her family gathered around her, she was later able to go home with her family. But at that terrible time, just got to hang on. Because you love your Lord. It's loyalty. Call it faith. Call it all sorts of things. But it means sticking with Him even when things don't look good. Then, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. How about that one? Well, as a parent, it's easy to have a benevolent attitude towards a child, remembering that benevolence means to do what is best for someone. And as a child, my parent spanked my hand when I reached it up for the stove, that hot pan. I'm glad they did. I could have been hurt. Well, yeah, it hurt my hand, but it's something I turned around and then did to my child, or children. All three of them got it one time or another. For things that they did in order to help keep them safe. You know, why do you not give your child chocolate cake for breakfast? Because it's not best for them. They might want it. Because you're a benevolent parent. You know that's not good for them. You give them what they need. Oatmeal. Give me that chocolate cake. It's got eggs. No, we're not going to go there. But you're benevolent. That's a parent doing what's best. So how do we do what's best for God? If I'm going to have a benevolent attitude towards God, I need to understand first and foremost, I don't know better than God. Now as a parent, I know better than my child. And I can come from that position of authority and impose my will over my child's will so that do what's best for them because I have experience. Because I might know something they don't know. I can't do that with God. You can't do that with God. Trust me. You don't know more than He does. You do not have more experience than He does. So in order to be benevolent towards God, that means we, when He says do something, we should be doing it. Because He tells us to do things, because He loves us, and it's what's best for us in the long run. Not always what we think is best today. We might even go into some difficulties. I remember His favorite son. His only begotten son seemed to have a couple of bad days. We kind of talked about one Good Friday. I wouldn't say that that was the best of all possible worlds. You know, if God was a loving God, why did He allow His son to go through that? Why did He go through that Himself as God? Because He loved us. That was the selfless nature of His act. But He knew what was best for us. To do that. Didn't look like it was best at the time. All the disciples thought that their teacher, the Messiah, was gone. But on Easter morning He had victory for all to see. That's what He says. I'm telling you this now so that when I come back you'll believe and have that faith and be able to stick with it. Ooh. I've gotten through my introduction. We're going to have to edit this message because I just finished the introduction. And we have more. So, let's go here and look at this one point. That our obedience to God does not come out of anything other than love. That's where it should be coming from. That we love God. Remember, love is a decision. It's an action. It's not an ushy-gushy, warm-fuzzy feeling. Although those things can accompany love. When we love our Lord, when we love our God, obedience naturally follows. And if you're not obeying God, you cannot tell me that you are loving God. I love God, I just don't obey Him. But certainly not a loving action. So, well, I love my wife, but I beat her. And you would say, well, I don't. She could probably take me. But why do I go down these roads? Yeah. If I love Donna, it is not healthy love for me to act in an unloving manner towards her. I cannot say that I love her and beat her at the same time. Now again, as a police chaplain, I see people who have those kinds of mindsets. You know, I've gone in riding with the police to a physical disturbance where there's a domestic, and the husband and wife are at each other with pots and pans and, you know, teeth and fingernails, and the police come in and they'll go to arrest the guy, and the wife will jump on their back, on the back of the officer, and try to beat him up. You know, well, you can't take him. Well, he was just beating you up. But I love him. Okay? That is a sick, wrong relationship. That is not real love. And if we really love God, we need to obey Him. When we act in rebellion and say, I love Him, it's sick and it's wrong and it's unhealthy. And we need to look inside ourselves and say, hey, I need to straighten this up. But how do I straighten this up? Well, we turn to our Father in heaven. We turn to our Lord Jesus. We turn and look to the Holy Spirit. And we say, God, clean me up. Fix me up. Love me. And He does. So, let's pray. Father God, we do thank You that You send Your Holy Spirit to indwell so that we can know Your will, so that You can direct us and You can show us what is contrary to You and what is not a loving action and what is. Lord, we thank You that we don't have to depend upon a set of rules and regulations in order to follow You and to love You right, or to obey Your will or word. But Lord, all we have to do is love You, and that obedience will naturally flow out of it. So Lord, help us to love You in a healthy, real way. In Jesus' name, amen.